Anyway, we're going to be taking a look at this and challenge ourselves, because if you just hear and walk away and say, I was a good message or a lousy message or whatever, but don't apply what we're talking about here, it's like, what's the point? But I want to really challenge us, because we are not the mothership here where we just send people to the lost. We in fact, there's many nations that have more followers of Christ per capita than Canada does. Canada is a very hard place to reach out in, very difficult. And our role, your role, you're not called to be passive. A follower of Christ is always engaged, is sent. And so we want to empower you, inspire you, challenge you. And for some who are extrovert and just love meeting strangers, this will be nothing. For those of us who are more introverted than that, this will be a stretch, but stretching is good. Stretching is good, right? It makes you more flexible, right? It teaches you something. So, but we're going to be very intentional. So, how are we going to start? We're going to start like this. Can I get two helpers? Two or four. You want to help too, Brian? You're here. One per person or per family, something like. Is that working? Who's back?
Leave the bat. Oh, there we go. Uh-huh.
Okay, so what's being handed here, it's going to look like blocks like this. And it's a little chart. And in the middle of that chart, you will see a little house, okay, in the middle. In the middle there, when you get this, you will... ignore that. Gosh, something messed up there. We'll just go back this way. In the middle, put your address or apartment number or condo unit number. Put yours. And then all those homes around that, all the little blocks around that, those are the neighbors in your immediate, you don't have to know them. I'm just saying, think of the houses that are around you immediately in your vicinity. So who's there, who's there, who's there, who's there, there, and there, and there. Okay? Picture the houses in your head. Picture the houses. Now, if you go, I can't think of eight people because where I live, there's not that many houses. That's fine. Just think of what you can think of. If it's five, great. If it's three, great. But I'm sure you can think of eight. If you live, I'm sure you can. Okay? Now, in block A, or in the sub-point A there, in the middle of that house, put your address. And then in B, so for each neighbor. Okay, so for A is put the name of your neighbor. I know I'm messing this up here, because I don't have my cheat sheet. Thank you. Okay. In the middle, where the house, your address. On each one, A represents the name of your neighbor. Do you know their name? Even just their first name, if it's Joe. Hey, you doesn't count. Okay? Or noisy neighbor doesn't count. Okay? That's A in all the blocks, name of that neighbor if you know it. And if you don't, leave it blank. B is just some basic info that you know about them. Okay? That you would learn from talking with them. They have three children, or they have two cats, or whatever. Whatever. C is because you've had a more of an in-depth conversation, you know something that is something relevant, but something that's more personal about them. Okay? That's because you've had a conversation with them. And see how many you could fill out. This isn't about shame. This isn't about that at all. This is a reality where we live in our culture. So this isn't about shame. Now, if you've just moved into a neighborhood, there's a challenge for you to say, you know what, we're going to get to know our neighbors.
Now, here's the interesting thing, the stats on this. In North America, for people who fill something like this out, 1% maybe knows the name of the people all around them. 1%. 1%? That's crazy. It gets a little smaller as far as the information goes. It's amazing. It just takes some time. Is there anybody here who is saying, oh, I can fill all of that out? Can you? You can, Greg? Awesome. Awesome. What's that? You know all 44 neighbors? 24? Rockstar. That counts. That's information. That's information. Is that because you hear them yell it out? Okay. No. Sure it counts. It's information, but you get to know. But it's a challenge. Now, I don't know if it's harder in an apartment or in a condo. Is it? Is it harder? Or they probably come and go and everybody's in their place and... Yeah, yeah. What's that? It's easier because you can hear through the wall. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Won't go too far down that one. So, that's the reality. But, here's what I want you to think about. While we read the letters of Paul and Peter, James, guys who traveled around the region of that of the Roman Empire there, while we read about that and we think, and sometimes you can think that's what it means to be a Christian. But understand that where they went planting churches, those people didn't leave from their city to go and join Paul on his travels. They stayed put right where they were, and the church grew. And the question you have to ask is, how did it grow? How did more and more people become followers of Christ? Because over, 300 years? Significant impact, significant thing took place in the Roman Empire with the Christian faith, with people simply coming to Christ, and it just slowly begins to grow. And I think what it is, there were no professional missionaries or apostles like that. Not professional. It was everybody living their life right where they were planted in a way that attracted others to follow Jesus as well. That's my guess. And so our challenge for you, think of your neighborhood. You can go and think of your neighborhood. That's your mission. That's where you're planted there. Nobody else is planted there, but you are. You are. Okay, let's take a look at, if we could, Patrick, could I just get you to crack these lights here? And this is going to be a video, Jaden. Or not. Okay. No. That's okay. Are you able to activate that for me, Ellen? It's supposed to just activate on click. If not, that's okay. No. Okay. Well, that's a shame. What's that? Okay. You can put the lights back on there. We'll just, if that happens to come on while I'm talking, we'll let it go. What it is, it's Dave Runyon, one of the authors of the book, The Art of Neighboring, that we're borrowing from, boring little tidbits. And he talks about the fact, he brings up the story of the Good Samaritan and the fact of the challenge that we face to reach out to our neighbors. And he admits the fact that he had to, what he says, he had to eat crow and he had to go across his little street to his neighbor and knock on their door and go, I know we've both lived here for a long time, and I know I talked to you 18 months ago, but I forget your name. Can you tell me what your name is? To begin to get to know neighbors, because he, just like everybody else, come go from work all the time and never took the opportunity to get to know. And he thought, if I'm going to teach on this, I better practice it. And it took, he says, we got to go from steps of hi to your neighbor to where you can go, hi Brian, to where you can go, hey Brian, how you doing? To where you go, hey Brian, can you come over to my garage here? I just got to move something here because I need some help. To where it gets to that place where we are relying on each other and seeing that there is need to connect with my brother, with my neighbor there. And then what is interesting, though, so he talks about this story. He talks about the challenge we face in connecting with our neighbors. But what's interesting in that whole story of the Good Samaritan, it says that Luke notes this, that when the religious leader asked Jesus, he said he wanted to justify himself because Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. And so he asked, who really is my neighbor? And he talked to, and this thing about justifying, do you know what that means? To justify something? When you want to justify yourself? What that Samaritan really, or what that religious leader really wanted to do was, Jesus, can you define it in such a way that it fits within my lifestyle? Because I want to justify the way I'm living is the way it should be. That's what justify means. I want to form it so that it doesn't tweak me, make me feel guilty. And we do that as well. At the beginning, I asked, who is our neighbor? And we said the answer. Everyone is our neighbor. What that does is we make it so broad that we don't actually look at the neighbor across the street from us or across the hall or beside us or in our backyard as actually there's our neighbor. Or do we even know what they're going through? Do we even understand? Do we even take the time? And granted, we live busy lifestyles. They're full. People's lives are full. They're full right now. Now, one of the things I wanted to point out, the mission that Jesus is calling us on is not to be good neighbors. Jesus didn't come so that you would be a good neighbor. Okay? He didn't come for that reason. So then, I'm not going to teach so much on how to be a good neighbor. The various teachings you're going to hear, because we're going to have others speak as well over the next few weeks, is not how to be a good neighbor, but basically you got the core, which is why. Why should you be a good neighbor? Why? And answer the why question. Because from the why, you'll understand what the hows are, how to be one. Why? 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 What's that? Okay, teach them about Jesus. Why? What's the why? Why should we be good neighbors? Because Jesus is actually saying that, right? What's that? Showing love. Okay. Yes. Joe? Okay, so we're getting there. The core of the gospel is what? What is the core? We took communion. Why? Okay. So what's the core of the gospel that we believe? Humanity is broken. There is a rift. There is a chasm that's between God and humanity. We were designed to be with God, to be connected with Him. We were designed to worship Him. Our bodies were wired that way. Did you know psychologically, you know how we'll sing songs and we'll praise like this, hands up? Did you know psychologically it's proven that it does something to the brain as far as you feel stronger, you feel there's something about people raise their hands, but we're wired that way. We are designed to have relationship with a God of this universe. But that was broken from humanity's when it fell. Sin entered, and everything's broken. We live in a broken world. We're broken. And do we know what... We've experienced what it's like to have a relationship with Jesus. Is it good? We sang it was good. We did. We said, we sing songs like, you're a good, good father. We were singing songs today about His faithfulness. Are you cold, Linda? I'll shut the airplane off. It just sounds like an airplane, right? The way the prop goes. We sing it that He's good. And we know what it's like to be disconnected from God. And don't we want, so there's neighbors right beside us, right across the road from us, who maybe have not. Don't know that there is a way to have that reconciliation with God, to have a connection, to have what our soul longs for, to connect, to know that there's more to life than just what we experience here on earth. Because it's hard here on earth. It's not easy. But to know there's a God who loves us, that's the core of the message. That's the core. That's why everything else takes place. It's what John recorded in his gospel. We know this one. For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. And God sent His Son into the world not to judge the world but to save the world through Him. That's why we must be stellar neighbors. The thought, when we were singing today, the thought that went through my head, can you think of a time when God has let you down? I don't mean, and when you think of situations, was it people that let you down, or was it your body that let you down, or was it something else, because sometimes we substitute God in there for letting us down when it really wasn't God. Because when I think about Jesus, He's never let me down, ever. He's never let me down. And why wouldn't I want that good news for my neighbor, right? And so when I go about in my neighborhood, do I live my life in such a way that people go, what is it about you? What is it about you? One of the things I've determined that I'm going to do is whenever somebody moves and another person moves in, I'm baking something for them and I'm taking it over. Right? That's what I'm doing. So I did that. I did that a few months ago. We had somebody just kitty corner from us. A new person moved in and I was like, okay. And I did the baking, went over there, gave them. And then they thanked us with a gift. And then now we chat over the fence and that. I know more about them. Clive and Wendy is their name. And he's retired. And and they're nice, you know, decent couple, quiet, they stick to themselves. They're not too impressed with their neighbor behind them who plays loud music. And so they're trying to build these high structures so they don't have to see them. But I've made way though to do that. Our neighbor to the side of us across the street, but to the side, their house is sold. There'll be new people coming in probably the end of June. And I'm going to do the same thing at Christmas time. I baked four different things and I took it to four neighbors that were close. And people were, oh, you know, thank you so much, you know, all that. I had one neighbor though, you know, peek out the little, it was their teenage daughter peeked out the little, you know, the window light, you know, beside the door, you know. And then you hear talk, 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 because it was dark out, right? But they could see I'm standing there with something, right? I'm not looking like a, I'm not scary. And so the guy comes out and he opens the door. Can I help you? I said, I'm just the neighbor across the road. I've baked you something for Christmas. We just want to say Merry Christmas to you guys. He did a guy thing, right? He goes, why'd you do that? Right? Because it's something, if you feel uncomfortable, you would say something. I said, hey, you know what? Christmas is a great time, and we really appreciate you guys as neighbors. And, you know, so we just want to bless you. Oh, he didn't know what to say. Oh, okay. But now we have a conversation. Right? So now if he's mowing his lawn, his boulevard across from our house, and, you know, I see him, hey, how you doing? You know, and there's that, we're slowly, it takes time, but, and you find a way, you find a way that you do, that works for you, right? But I want to see that in our neighborhood, because our neighborhood is, people are not, we don't talk. People don't talk. It's built, whoever designed it, did not make it, because I want a friendly neighborhood. And not only that, though, I want to find out about where my neighbors are at. I want them to see there's someone in that they can bring into their life who will, it's worth, you can bank everything on Jesus. Everything. You can lean your whole life into him. And that's what I want. That's what I desire more than anything. Where does it all begin? It begins like this. Maybe when you go home, pull this out and identify what are the homes around you, or what are the apartments in your apartment, or the condo units in your condo. Who are they? Or just even write down their unit number or their address number. Start to pray. Start to pray for them. Prayer is powerful. It really is. Prayer is powerful. And start to pray. And start to, and then do the risky thing. Say, God, give me your heart for my neighbor. Your heart, not my heart. Your heart. Your heart. Pray that, God, would you reveal yourself through them, and, or to them, and you can use me. Ooh. That's sort of like a God going, oh, really? Okay. And he'll note that. You said you can be used. Okay. Pray that they would become followers of Jesus. Pray that you have an opportunity. Pray for your neighborhood. Walk the streets and just pray. Or just walk the streets and say hi. 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 And if you have a friendly dog, take your dog. You know? If you don't have a friendly dog, don't take your dog, because that won't, that might not. I don't have a real friendly dog. He's not friendly with other dogs, so I wouldn't take my dog for a walk because I wouldn't want to cause my neighbor's grief. And understand this.
You're going to come across neighbors who are from other faiths, neighbors from other ethnicities, neighbors from other beliefs, neighbors who are agnostic or atheist, who are whatever. Still be nice. Still pray. And as a church, what I want us to do over the next 30 days as we go through this series, in our neighborhood here in Allison, if you go over here to Lumsden, I think it's Lumsden, and even across through the tunnel, under the bridge over at Clyde, we have a large Muslim population. And the Muslims, starting tomorrow, they start to observe Ramadan, right? For the next 30 days. And we should pray for them. We should pray for them. Here's the question. Do you really believe the gospel? Do you believe Jesus really is the answer? Do you really believe that Jesus, as I saw on a sign in a church this morning, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? Right? John 14. Do you really believe that he's the way? We have Muslim neighbors in our neighborhood here, quite a few. We should pray for them. Pray that they'll encounter Jesus. I was reading a story. There's this ministry called Waymakers, and they do praying for the city and praying for different things. But they do have prayers for the Muslims right now during Ramadan. And they tell a story of, now this is of heavily of Muslim nation over in North Africa. And a missionary tells the story of their neighborhood. But they just started praying. They just started praying for this one neighbor who is Muslim. And somehow they had an encounter, because it was a neighbor. They had an encounter with this person. And the person seemed troubled, and they asked what was going on. The person said, I had a disturbing dream, and I don't know what to do with it. Well, what was the dream? Well, it was just a dream. It was a book I saw, and the words were, I knew the words were true. And this guy all of a sudden had this feeling, he had this picture of an old New Testament only, it was just New Testament only, that was sitting in his drawer of his end table. And he just really felt, this is a crazy thing, right? This is risk. This is faith, R-I-S-K. So he went into his house, got it, brought it out, showed it to him. Is that the book? And the guy goes, that's the book. And that guy now has become a follower of Christ. He converted over from Islam. God's revealing himself. He's revealing himself. The guy was asked, what's the secret? And you know what he said the secret was? Prayer and the Holy Spirit. That was it. He said, I have no method. I have nothing. It was just, I prayed. I had an encounter with my neighbor. I listened to the Holy Spirit. He says, I can't take any credit for it. None. None. I can't take any credit. Wouldn't you like an encounter like that with your neighbor? Like just your own neighbor, wherever you live? Wouldn't that be amazing? Well, I believe that can happen. I believe it can happen. And I believe here, wouldn't it be great to start seeing our Muslim neighbors come to Jesus? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be like, wow? Because here's the thing. And we're going to wrap this up right now, but we're going to wrap it up by praying for our Muslim neighbors. Here's the thing. Canadians are very peace-loving people. We don't like to stir up anything. We like to be at peace with everybody. Let everybody live and let live. That would be our motto, so to speak, right? The problem with that, though, is that can bleed into us as well. And we can go, well, you know, you have your religion, I have mine. And ours becomes just a religion. And what good is that? Because the question becomes, is what we believe and what we sing about, is it true? And if it's true, we need to pray
more people come in. More people become followers. We got to pray. We got to say, God, send us evangelists here who can go and just have that, or wired to go and make connections. Lord, let us be daring and say, Lord, use us. And then be willing to do whatever the Lord asks us to do. That's always the risk. But why not? Why not risk it? Why not? What's the worst that could happen? They stick their head out the door and they go, what's that? What are you doing that for? Well, you can go, well, I can tell you why. I can tell you why. So, today we're not going to do, well, there's always prayer available. But we're not going to do our ministry time for ourselves. I want us to pray collectively for our Muslim neighbors. I want us to pray for them. I want us to pray for them. Ask God, give us a heart for them, Lord. Give us a heart. We don't want to buy into the media. Sometimes it gets, you know, the media can skew things. We know what that's all about. So, I don't know if you want to come up, Genevieve. You can if you want. We're just going to go into a time of prayer. And you don't have to. You don't need to. You look comfy there. The Holy Spirit won't come more. But let's be I want us to pray. I want some of us who have hearts for cross-cultural mission to pray out loud. Okay? Doesn't mean you have to be a missionary to have hearts for cross-cultural mission. We have cross-cultural right here in our backyard, man. Right here. Right here.